Good evening, everybody. This evening we are going to discuss a challenging mitzvah, namely to combat those natural emotions that we might feel when someone wrongs us. This sugya is known as lo sikom velo sitor. One shall not take revenge, and one shall not bear a grudge, found in this week's Parsha Kedoshim. Parsha Kedoshim has many mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro, famously the v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, as in the same pasuk actually. And we certainly, during Sfiras HaOmer, emphasize working on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, not being jealous of our friends, not having negative emotions. And this is not a Musar Shmuz, it's a real halachic sugya. Yet obviously, it's a real halacha that has to do with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Mesilas HaSharm will be quoted, etc. And it's a sugya that is very unique in that it really has a lot of halachic significance and also, we'll say, makshava, musar ramifications. So I will try to tackle it one makor at a time, and hopefully we'll all emerge better people. And if everyone calls one person after this year to apologize, to forgive, I don't know, maybe we'll repair some relationships tonight. I know AB's got a lot of enemies, so hopefully tonight, you know, AB's a good guy. We'll go easy on AB. All right, here we go. Says the Torah. Lo sikom velo sitor es bnei amecha, one shall not take a nekama, namely revenge, velo sitor, one shall not bear a grudge to your fellow Jew. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, ani Hashem. Okay, pashut, shot, right, you shall not, what, take revenge versus you shall not bear a grudge, so bear a grudge. Rashi on the spot quotes a famous Gemara in Yuma. It's famous because Rashi al Torah quotes it. What is the difference between nekama and etzira? So here's the famous distinction. So it says the Gemara Maseches Yuma Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Tanya Ezehi Nekam Nekima Ve'ezehi Netira. What is Nekama? What's Netira? Nekima, jealousy, is the following. If I were to ask you, Hishilani Magelcha, please lend me your sickle. Amrlo Lav. So if I say to Alvin, Alvin, can I please borrow your sickle? And Alvin says, absolutely not. Lamachar, the next day, Amrlo, who? Alvin actually needs something for me. Alvin comes up to me and he says, Hishilani kardu mecha, can I please borrow your axe? Amarlo, I think article, I think translated as a hatchet, you know, kardu is some form of spear, hatchet, but it was a hatchet. So I want to borrow your hatchet. So now I have a unique opportunity here. So what do I say back to Alvin? Amarlo, eini mashilcha, I will not lend you my hatchet, Alvin. You know why? Because you did not lend me yesterday. So in the same way you did not lend me yesterday, I'm not going to lend you today. Zuhi Nikima, that's called revenge. I'm specifically doing the negative thing to you that you did to me. All right, that's called revenge. Bezi Natir, what is Natir? It's a lot more subtle. Amrlo Heshilana Kadumecha. So I go to Alvin on Monday and I say, please lend me your hatchet. Amrle Lo. Alvin says, absolutely not. I will not lend you my hatchet. And what happens the next day? Lamachar Amrlo. He says, Mandelstam, I need your, I want to borrow one of your Charles Turwood shirts that you got on Cyber Monday, right? You know, Alvin knows about those. So you know what I say to Alvin? I say, listen, Alvin, I'm going to give you one of my Charles Turwood shirts to borrow. You know why? Hey, look, because Amy Kamoska, I'm not like you, Alvin. I'm not like you. Shiloh Shizan, you were not so nice. You did not lend to me, but I'm better than you. I'm going to lend to you. Zohi Netira. That is what's called bearing a grudge, where I specifically do something nice to you, despite the fact that you did not do something nice to me, and I let you know about it. I.e., I verbalized, I'm pretty upset with you. You did something really wrong to me, and I'm not going to be like you. So a couple of questions off the bat, especially with Netira, this one bothers me. What if I don't verbalize that to Alvin? Oh, this is the big question. What if Alvin, you know, asks me for my shirt and I say, no problem, but internally I'm thinking it's really not right. Alvin was not nice to me, but I'll be nice to him. But I don't actually tell Alvin my negative emotions. Am I still violating Netira? So what do we think? AB, what do you think?
I could see it both ways.
AB could see it both ways.
I could see that you're not, because as long as the person that asks you for it has no idea of your so that he doesn't know that you are Noter.
That's a very nice. So Rabbi Weintraub argues that since we are dealing with Ben Adam Chaveiro, you only violate this din when the other person is insulted, potentially at least. So if Alvin never was made to feel bad, you can't pin me on any Yisurim, right? That's a very nice answer. I like that a lot. We'll have to figure out if AB is right. Does anyone want to say differently than AB? AB said he can see both ways himself. Does anyone want to argue? Robert, what are you thinking?
No, I totally agree. I agree.
Totally agree. So Robert, yeah. Totally agree.
I
totally
very agree. Rarely agree with Abe. So this
yeah,
is,
I know. Yeah. We've said AB.
Not telling me.
Internally, I disagree, but externally, okay, I totally
at least
agree.
Externally, we're all going to pretend to like each other. Yeah. You know, I like that.
This is after Rafa Kamasan. They also need the lay. So just like that, it's the lay. So
you're saying it's beneath the surface, you mean?
Yeah.
Wow. So says Adam, Havdalei Chamocha is not necessarily expressed externally. It's more of like an internal approach.
To this
so maybe it's also internal,
according
right?
According to this Amora, it's got to be Befer.
Oh, yeah. So it is clear in the Gemara that the Gemara specified that the person verbalized, I told Alvin, I'm going to do this because I'm not like you. Right? So the question is, why do the Gemara have to do that? It's a very, very good point.
That's one question.
Oh, yeah.
There's another one that's Kashtus on the Gemara.
Yeah.
By Nakama, it's Hardom.
Very
here
good.
It's Chalufa, so it switches. So.
Very good. A lot of Farshim. The Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi addresses that in Rashi. Yeah, there are also some Farshim on the Gemara that address that question. Also, why the specifics trade. It has to do with the monetary value. Like the Chiddush being, even if, let's say, a hatchet is only worth, let's say, $5, and my Charles Stewart shirt is worth $30, even in that situation where I have a logical reason to say no, yeah, even there
is understood to even, be more expensive.
I think so. Yeah, that's how many explain it. Very good. Very sharp. Okay, excellent. Okay, so let's move on. All right, so let's just quickly see how the Rambam presents these laws in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It should be noted that these are two separate mitzvos. One may have thought that Netira, Nekama and Netira, they're always spoken about in unison. And the contrast is there to make them contrasted, either like a couple, they're paired together. But it should be noted, they're different. The Rambam Melosa say Shindalid writes that the Torah says not to take revenge, right? And that means that you specifically seek the person out who wronged you. He says, V'lo tasur milecha pes acharav achet kumileyu kema'ase hara asher yivyeu kemosh yivyecha. Where someone wronged you and you specifically seek him out to do the wrong thing that he did to you. That's called revenge. And here's my second question of the evening. What if you take revenge, but you don't do the very thing to the other person that he did to you? Meaning he wronged me by, stealing. And I get back at him by hitting him. Is that called revenge?
No.
Because the two actions are very different.
No, that might still be a Nisa D'Oraisa, but it's not the Easter of Nekama.
Oh, so AB says that's not called Nekama, at least in the Rambam so far, seems to be, where because Reuven did X to me.
You went to get even.
I went to do X to Reuven. Now, you could argue that, well, Reuven did X to me, and I could get even with him by doing Y to him. Meaning, there are different ways to get back at people, right? A prank. Is to get back at a person. You don't necessarily always have to get back mida kineged mida, So that's it. We'll have to figure that one out. And Sefer Mitzvahs Lo Sa says Shin Hei. So the next mitzvah in the Rambam is Yirana Shalom Lintor. You should not bear a grudge. The Ava Bi Shalom Nishalem Lo Gemu. I mean, even though I don't actually do anything negative back to you, rather I what? So what do you do? That's the $1 million question. So what did you do? Here it is. This is the Rambam of the Sefer Mitzvos. V'hu shenizgor lo ha'avon shecheit achode. What does that word mean? Shenizgor lo.
You did this.
You reminded him, right? You verbalized it again. You verbalized it, right? So you used your mouth. So we're saying you only violate Netira if you remind him verbally.
No, it's not my, no.
What does shenizgor mean?
Shenizgor doesn't mean verbally.
Oh, what does it mean?
Shenizgor means he gets the message.
Okay, but you remind the person.
Correct. It could be anything.
Okay, you remind him. It could be with the we'll have to learn about that. Very good. Okay. So essentially, all we've learned so far is that there are two Yisurei D'Oraisa in the Parsha. One of them is called Nekama. One of them is called Netira. They are both counted as independent mitzvos in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. And we've kind of asked some questions to try to analyze a little bit, just thrown out some logical thoughts. Let's try to really see the Rambam inside now. And we'll try to emerge with some really concrete equations and conclusions about when these issues are violated, when they're not violated, etc. All right, so the Rambam deals with this in Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin. So that already, by the way, should tell us a little bit about this mitzvah. Hilchos Deos is the Rambam's work on Musar, on ethics. So that already is telling. So Hanoke Mechavero, someone who would take revenge from his friend, over below Sase, Shem Lo Soikyo. Now here's the key line on the Rambam. Ba'av Abishayin Aloka Alav, even though you can't get Malkus as a punishment for violating this Easter, because there's no action. Deya ra'a hi ad me'od. So the Rambam, that means it's a very bad midah to have. It's a very negative quality. You don't want this character trait. Ella, rather, ro'i lo la'adam, it's fitting for man, lios ma'avir al midosa, for one to overcome his nature, al kol divrei ha'olam she'akol eitzal mevinim divrei hevel v'havai ve'enam kedar linkom aleihem. Right, so basically something that is not worth arguing about, let it go. If I could summarize the Rambam's Shita on this Isser, it's called Let It Go. What Beatles song am I thinking about right now, by the way? Let It Be is a very good answer, Robert. Yeah, excellent.
Let It Go is from the Disney Bros.
Oh, I agree with that. Very right. No, not Let It Go. That's cool. You know that though, Amy. The Beatles have a song called We Can Work It Out. We Can Work It Out. We Can Work It Out. So I was thinking of that. So Alvin's just giving you a shepherd good right now.
That's not We Can Work It Out.
You're saying working. So keep that in mind. So very good. So we'll have to figure out the nafgamina between Let It Be / Let It Go versus We Can Work It Out. This is going to be the whole nafgamina of this evening's share. All right. So very good. Talk about that at the end. I.e., but the Rambam is saying Let It Go. Drop it. Drop it, meaning you have reason to be upset. But it's Narishkeit. It's Narishkeit. It's not worth fighting about. So therefore, let it go. Okay, granted, he didn't lend you the axe. So who cares? Drop it. Let it go. Okay. And the Rambam concludes, though. So if Alvin says the next day, can I please borrow your shirt? So I should go and I should give him, you know, and he says, Yitain Belev Shalim. In the last full line of Halacha Zayin over here. Yitain Belev Shalim. Give it with a full heart. Don't take revenge, just love, let it be forgiving. Beautiful. Now,
I have a question.
Sorry?
What if there are multiple offenses involved?
Very good.
And
so Robert,
he keeps, again and again, you're doing the right thing and he keeps, yeah.
Robert is a man of conviction. We'll have to get to your question. Don't worry, we will convict this evening, Robert. We'll get there, we'll get there. Okay, Robert obviously has no one in particular in mind over here. Obviously, right. So let's learn halacha ches before we get back to Robert, and we'll have to try a little bit of group therapy for Robert. I mean, we'll try to address Robert's question. And here we go. Says the Rabban, halacha ches v'chein chol anoter le'echad miYisrael. So anyone who's eating this netira, and then the Rambam says the famous example we learned in the Gemara already, right? That you give it back to him, but I'm nicer than you, etc. And now here is the line of the Rambam again. Ela yimche hadavar melibo below yitrenu. Ding, ding, ding. Remove all of this negative stuff from your heart. Shekol zman shehu noter es hadavar v'zochro shema yavo linkum. All the while that you bear a grudge and you have some negative emotions inside, it will lead you potentially to take revenge. So if I'm feeling upset that Alvin did not lend me his item that I wanted, the mitzvah is to get rid of those negative emotions. Because if I don't get rid of those negative emotions, I might come to take revenge. Whoa. Now here is the first time we're seeing a potential makor to argue that even if I never say a thing to Alvin, the Torah still wants me to work internally, kind of like what Dr. Karp was saying. And maybe I even violate the Din D'Oraisa just by feeling those feelings. Now, is that what the Rambam saying or no? Just by having those negative emotions, I'm violating an Issur D'Oraisa? or it's not recommended, but I don't violate the Isra D'Oraisa until I...
It could go either way.
So again, the Rambam says here, that here's the key line, L'fichach hichpida Torah al hanetira. The Torah, it does not want you to bear a grudge on sheyimcha ha'avon milibo, until you get those things out of your heart, velo yizkerenu klal, and wipe it from your memory. You shall not remember it at all. So the Rambam is telling you two different stories. He quoted the Gemara, which said that I violate the Isra D'Oraisa when I lend Alvin my shirt and I tell him, I'm lending you my shirt despite the fact that you didn't lend me your hatchet or whatever. Yet the Rambam then goes on to speak about your internal emotional perspective. So this is fun all of a sudden. What is the Isser? And we're going to learn here, clearly there are different madrigos of this Isser. So when does the Beis Din though slam you with violating Isser Netira? For sure when you verbalize your frustration, and maybe even at an earlier stage. Now check this out. The Chafetz Chaim is going to explain how strict this Isser is, because when someone says Lashon Hara, it's kind of like what Robert was alluding to, you would assume that they're only violating one Isser, right? So Adam asks me, for example, what do you think about AB? You know, and I say something negative, Chas V'Shalom, obviously, there's something negative to say. But just hypothetically, right? So if Adam asks me, and I say Lashon Hara about AB, so I would have assumed that's only one Isser Midoraisa. But the Chafetz Chaim scares people really intensely. His introduction, he says, by the way, you can actually violate the whole Torah many times over when you speak Lashon Hara. And one of the things that he writes in his psicha to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Lavin, numbers Ches and Tes, is as follows. Ulefamim shamasapir over gamkin alav delosikom velositor. By speaking Lashon Hara, sometimes I'm actually violating our Isurim. Huh? Yeah, you know why? Kigon, for example, sheyesh lo sina alav. Let's say Robert is getting upset with, we'll call him Ruvain. So Robert asked Ruvain for a favor, and it wasn't he wanted some money, or he wanted to borrow his, his car, whatever. Velo hitivo, and Ruvain did not do that. And Robert has been upset by that, and he's been harboring negative feelings. And you know what happens eventually? Robert speaks Lashon Hara about Ruvain. Now, this Lashon Hara might be about something completely, you know, separate. He might be saying that Ruvain smells. If I'm reading the Chafetz Chaim correctly, he's going to be saying something negative about Ruvain completely separate from his own personal story. But what led Robert to say that Lashon Hara were those negative emotions? So therefore, Robert's violating not only Lashon Hara, he's violating Netira. And what happens? Because he's really kind of unleashing the grudge he was, the grudge he was feeling about it. Shum davar ganai mefarsimo b'fnei anashim who over mitchila ala netira shebalev alav de lo titor. So all the while that Robert was feeling those bad feelings, he was violating lo titor. And then when he finally has an excuse to speak Lashon Hara about Ruvain, he's violating nekama. Wow. So what is the Chafetz Chaim teaching us? That netira and nekama are violated when they are the cause for you to say Lashon Hara. Now, what's the chiddush there? Robert and Reuven never even spoke. And all Robert said, for example, was Reuven smells. Reuven's stupid. But because it was the netira, the negative grudge, and the nekama that he was thirsty to take revenge on this guy, which led him to speak Lashon Hara, he's violating Lashon Hara, he's violating the Tira, and he's violating the Kama. Now, why is that a big chiddush in the Chafetz Chaim? Because the Chafetz Chaim is not dealing with a case where the person even is interacting with the person who he feels negative against. So, right? I could have said to the Chafetz Chaim, of its chayim, this is not the mitzvah we learned about in the Rambam, right? The mitzvah we learned about in the Rambam was what? Not to express your anger to the person himself. That's called revenge. But here, as I alluded to earlier, sometimes you could get back at a person indirectly. So Reuven wronged me. And how do I get back at Reuven? Not by wronging him directly, but by speaking Lashon Hara about it. Ooh, it's pretty machmir shita, no? But you hear what I'm saying? You hear what he's saying. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Making sense? Hey, what do you think?
Doesn't it tomorrow you seem to say something about the same thing?
Yes. Yeah. So the Chofetz Chaim, in addition to having this section, he has what's called the Be'er Mayim Chaim on the bottom with extensive footnotes where he basically goes through the entire sugya and proves you're going to ask on me X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to prove you wrong because you're A, B, and Z. So needless to say, the Chofetz Chaim did his homework. But I thought this is a fascinating shita. Again, Reuven wronged Robert. And Robert was feeling badly about it. He was upset. And at the first possible moment, Robert is in shul and he hears people talking about Reuven. And Robert says, aha, this is my chance to get back at Reuven. And he says Lashon Hara about him. Says the Chofetz Chaim, because of the negative emotions that were festering that led to that Lashon Hara, Robert is violating Lo Titor and Lo Sikol. Whoa. The Chomer Digadin. So what we were learning. What?
The other way around. Because of the Rosicum and Lositor, he's violating Lashon Hara.
Correct. Right? Very good. But what emerges from the Chofetz Chaim is, we'll say, the more strict version of the Rambam, that the Isser takes place internally. Namely, even if you didn't open up your mouth, the Chofetz Chaim seems to be arguing that you've already violated the Din D'Oraisa just by having the negative emotions, right? Seemingly, that's exactly what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. Which is almost impossible to keep, right? I mean, imagine not having negative emotions about someone, right? Isn't that wild?
Imagine taking abuse and not feeling the abuse.
Oh, all right. So we'll get to exceptions very shortly. But again, let's make sure I'm not misreading the Chofetz Chaim. He says, when I'm underlined it here, he says, "Over mitchil al netira." You're first violating the netira. Shebalev. You're violating the negative speech. You're violating Shabbat here. Over Allah, the Losikum. So maybe Losikum, right? Losikum is only violated when you take the revenge by speaking Lashon Hara. But Lositor apparently is already violated when you feel the grudge. Uh-oh. That's pretty bad, right? That's pretty hard. And that is what the Rambam said, right? Didn't the Rambam say that? The Rambam said that you have to remove all of those negative emotions. But we were not sure if the Rambam meant by that means you already violated the Din D'Oraisa when you have those negative emotions. Adam, what do you think? I think I'm reading the Chofetz Chaim correctly. Yeah, I think that's Chofetz Chaim's view. Amen. You hear that? That the Chofetz Chaim's shita here and the Rambam maybe is that you're not allowed to have negative emotions about another person. And this is what leads us, we'll say, at a sensitive time in the Omer, just around the middle, right, where we really are trying to prepare for Kabbalah's Torah and do tshuva for the sins of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. And imagine if we really were able to be mekayem the mitzvah of loving every Jew and dropping all of those negative emotions. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be utopian? So before we conclude with some form of middle ground, before we all feel badly about ourselves, let's learn the other side of the coin quickly before we feel a little bit overwhelmed by this mitzvah, maybe daunting to strive for these standards. But let's see, there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Yuma. In this sugya, I don't know how famous. I learned it when I prepared the shir. I don't know how famous it is. Amar Rav Yochanan, Yishim Rav Shimon Ben Yosadok, Kol Tamer Chacham She'en Onoke Minotar Kenachash. Any Tamer Chacham that does not take Natira or does not take revenge like a snake, Eino Tamer Chacham. He's not really a Tamer Chacham. I.e., a positive quality to a Tamer Chacham is to know how to take revenge, which would mean, if hypothetically someone were to write a negative news article or blog out against the rabbi, The rabbi knows needs to get back at him. It's important for the rabbi to take revenge and to bear a grudge. Now, the pashup shot in this Gemara is because it's not the rabbi's honor, it's Hashem's honor. Meaning a rabbi is on a different madriga because we're not talking about an individual, we're talking about Kavod HaTorah.
Not Kavod HaMakom.
Right, not Kavod HaMakom. And we'll see that explicitly in the Meiri. But the Gemara itself already asks, V'haksiv losikum losito. Well, how can the Gemara say that it's ideal for a Talmud Chacham to bear a grudge and take revenge? So I would have answered, this is different because it's Kavod Shemayim. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara has a very, very important answer, and it says, no. Hahu b'mamon v'diksiv. The whole violation of losikum losito is limited to cases of where someone wrongs my money. I.e., but if someone wrongs something more than my money, more important than my money, that's not forgivable. It's not forgivable. Meaning there are times when you are not supposed to just drop it, where it's not okay just to make peace. So I'll give a little bit of an extreme example for example. You know, let's say someone mamish, you gave the example, Rahman the son of abuse. Let's say, who said that before? Someone said abuse before? Maybe you said that?
I didn't mean psychological abuse. I meant any type of personal.
Right. But let's say someone's a mamish, a victim. And the victim says, you know what? I'm going to let it go. That's not good. It's not a good thing. You're not doing society a favor by letting someone off the hook. Now, let's see a little more subtle example. Let's say someone in a parking lot like nips my car and there's some body work that needs to be done. Let's say a few $100. But listen, my car already as it is not, let's say, out of the shop. It's not so spotless anymore as it is. And I say, you know what? I'll let it go. So you could understand that being a very admirable, wonderful thing to do. You know, you're basically forgiving them. You're being mochel. And this is the tension in the sukkah. When does the halacha advocate you to be mochel? And when are you supposed to specifically not forgive? Oh, this is it. And this is actually a machlokas rishon. This is a machlokas rishon. And a machlokas poskim. And we have to come to some form of conclusion this evening to figure out really how to live in this world with other people, because by default, for better or worse, we will feel negative emotions towards people, and we'll have to navigate those emotions. Then the question of the evening is, how do we overcome those negative emotions? How do we navigate those emotions? So there's a Ramban in this week's parsha. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says that, in the second line, that ki bedavar shenischayev lo chaver mamon, don't forget Masechas Baba Kama. Hello. There's a whole concept they call Nezikin. So the Torah is not telling you in this week's Parsha that if someone wrongs you and owes you money, you're supposed to forgive them. No, there's a whole concept of taking someone to Beis Din and claiming your rights to the money that they owe you. Ka'asher asa kenye asa lo. Just like they did to you, shall be done to them. Sounds a lot like nekama. I.e., there are times when revenge is... it's not revenge. I'm saying it right.
Just defend your rights.
Right. So you're entitled. You have your rights. And the Ramban says, v'chol shekein b'inya nefesh. Now, gentlemen... Sorry, everyone was insulted by that. That's right. I speak to high school boys. I show them gentlemen all the time. I don't know. So, gentlemen, boys, whatever. That was funny. What the Ramban now says, he answers a question I always had. Something that I always was a little bit curious about in the Torah is the concept of Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam says that if someone kills a person's relative, let's say, for example, my relative, I'm allowed to avenge the blood of my relative, and I'm allowed to kill the murderer. That's what the Ir Mikla's for, right? He has to run to the Ir Mikla before I kill him. I was always bothered, like, what? Because this guy killed my relative, what, therefore I'm allowed to kill him? Are you, what? I was like baffled.
It's not a question if you're allowed to kill him. It's just your nature, the nature of a person is I want to get even. So the Torah is not mandating against that.
Oh, so why not? Two murders still equal two. Right, one murder plus another murder equals two murders.
Because you don't get away with it. Because if he doesn't run to the Ermit blood, he's flaunting it.
Oh, okay. So oh, okay. All right.
He doesn't want to permit that.
So the Ramban here actually answered my question. For years I've had this question. I never had an answer to it. V'chol shekein b'inyan nefesh she'yehiye nokim v'no terlo. Yes, there is a concept of avenging blood. And she'yigal d'me achiv miyado. Whoa! Says the Ramban, it is justice. It's true justice to kill the person who killed your relative. Now, by the way, we're not going to talk, we'll say, current events, but let's just say there have been people recently convicted for murder, even though it was, you know, not directly intentional murder, right? You know, we're not going to go there. That being said, the Ramban here is saying that there is a concept of justifying revenge when someone committed murder, even if that original murder was unintentional. Wow. I.e., the Torah believes in absolute justice in certain instances. Oh my gosh. What a Ramban. So what we learn from this Ramban is that there are examples in the Torah where you're supposed to be, you know, vengeful, and there are certain times you're supposed to drop it. So what do we think should be our conclusion over here? So the Shari Tshuva, he gives a heter, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel, I think it was like Lamed Ches, I didn't write it on the sheet. He says, okay, when it comes to certain things, you are allowed, you're not allowed to take Nekama, aval adivrei gava uboz udrishas ra'a, mutter la sum hadvaram alibo. But if someone is like out to get you and like is really against you, they're your enemy, they're trying to ridicule you, etc., you don't need to drop that. He says if they're against your gaiva, your reputation, that's pretty intense stuff, and that's very similar, right? And then he goes on to quote that Gemara. So if someone's out to get you, it's not so clear if they just be forgiving all the time. And the Me'iri in Maseches Yuma over there also has a similar equation where if someone wrongs you and asks you for mechila, you should forgive them. But if they don't ask you for mechila, then what? Then that's already where someone can have the right.
That's what Shari Tshuva says, yeah, if they ask mechila also. The last words he says,
oh, of course. Oh, very good. So if someone asks for mechila, you should always be forgiving. But here it is. I don't want to go into the whole Me'iri. I gave you a lot of it. I'm a little pressed on time. But let me say it is. Obviously here, the Me'iri starts by saying if there's physical injury, don't forgive the person right away. But if they forgive you, if they ask for forgiveness, you can forgive them. Here, Mikol Makom, and then he says by Talmud Chacham, by the last two lines, Umelech Yotz Bela Af Avi She'ena Mishtar the Menekima. He says Mikol Makom Roy Lehem Shalol Limchol Mikol Vakol. Wow, it's better to not forgive. Meaning, if it's Hashem's honor, don't forgive. Pretty wild. So again, just to summarize, I did not teach the Me'iri properly, but the main point that I wanted to draw from that Me'iri is that there's a distinction between people who ask for forgiveness as opposed to if they don't ask for forgiveness. That's also a new distinction that I haven't pointed out, even though the Shari Tshuva said himself. So before we really conclude here, I think it's important to note that whereas when we learned the Chafetz Chaim, we thought this halacha mandated that we live on like a supernatural level, that is seemingly not what the Torah wants from us. What I think the Torah does want from us, though, is to not care about things that shouldn't matter. I.e., what the Rambam said is that a person who has seichel will understand what is hevel, what is worthless. And unfortunately, people do get into lifelong arguments over hevel havel. And a question that the post can actually deal with is if someone did not go to your simcha, right? Or, you know, you invited them and they didn't go to your simcha and you're really upset they didn't show up to your kid's wedding. And now they invite you to their kid's wedding, and you specifically don't want to go just to show it to them, is that a violation of nekama? The posting say seemingly yes.
Depends if you are.
Oh,
depends on why you don't go. It depends on the level. Did they not invite you because they're full gay?
Oh, very good. And I mean, obviously, and I mean, the point is that if you genuinely are not showing up to a simcha out of anger, out of revenge, that is a statement. And that statement is not a verbal statement, yet the post can seem to assume that that's a big enough statement to violate nekama. And like this is where these things come up practically all the time, where people get so offended that they try to make statements in subtle ways, even if it's not as blunt as the example in the Gemara. And this is where the Mesilas Yesharim really changed my whole perspective. I can't stress enough how much I enjoy learning the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. You give me the Mesilas Yesharim and a Dr. Pepper on Shabbos and our iced coffee during the week. That's a good life. It's a good life right there. Good life in Yerushalayim, maybe. But ultimately, the Mesilas Yesharim says like this. You know what the Yetzer Hara tries to do? Mesilas Yesharim writes that the Yetzer Hara is very, very crafty. He says, you know what? Adam Karp has been announced on Fox News to be a highly religious man. That means he's not going to violate Nekama and it's here in the classical way. So Alvin Stern does not lend his axe to Adam. Adam's not going to violate revenge. But you know what Adam's going to do? Adam's not going to smile at Alvin the same way. When Alvin says good Shabbos to Adam, Adam's going to be like a Shabbos Alvin. He's going to give him the cold shoulder. He's going to give him the cold shoulder. And Adam's going to say, you know what? Listen, I was already Mochel Alvin. I don't need to be his best friend. I don't need to invite him for Shabbos meals. We're not friends. And says Mr. Sharm, it's still a trace of Nekama. What a chiddush. The fact that your negative emotions are affecting your actions, that's still a violation on some level of this din. And I think the reality really is as the Rambam hinted to, this is a halacha that is in Hilchos Deos. And all the while that our actions are being driven by negative midos, we have violated this again to some degree. It's a law she'ein bo ma'aseh, which means it's a law that is categorized differently and measured differently. There seemingly is a spectrum. When it comes to lulav, you either picked up the lulav or you didn't pick up the lulav. When it comes to this lav, there's a different measuring rod where your actions influenced by these negative emotions. And if you're saying Mandelstam, how does the Torah want me to navigate these negative emotions? So we'll conclude with the final 60 seconds with some etzos, and I really, really, you know, hope that we can try to take these seriously. So what does the Torah say? The Gemara Yerushalmi quotes our pasuk, and it says, "Hey Chavida, our question: how in the place is supposed to do that?" Have mekate koped umachasakina liado. So let's say what happens: you cut your hand with a knife. Tachsor v'tamche liade. So are you going to now take revenge on the other hand? Right? Meaning if you cut your left hand with a knife, do you now take revenge and cut your right hand? I.e., all of the Jewish people are like one body. And if Alvin wrongs me and I get back at him, that's like me getting back at myself. Hurting another Jew is hurting yourself. And that's a very high madriga to strive for, to view another Jew, mamish, like you. V'haftalecha kamocha, and that's what Mr. Sharm said. V'haftalecha kamocha means you should mamish love every Jew despite the fact that they haven't earned your love. And that's Robert, what you were alluding to before. They're a convicted felon. They have violated your policies numerous times. Robert, if it's not worth fighting for, yes. Drop it again and again and again and again and again. Yeah, if it's really worth speaking it out, you have to speak it out. Because, you know, you're not allowed to be a victim. You're not allowed to be a korban. But if it's something trivial, let it go. And the Sefer HaChinuch says something so mind-blowing. that you know why you're not supposed to feel negative emotions towards others? Because they're just acting on behalf of the Ribono Shel Olam. If so-and-so caused you a little bit of pain, agmas nefesh, a little bit of negative emotions, Hashem wanted you to get that. And he could have sent it to you in one of a dozen trillion ways. And the fact that so-and-so did it to you, that wasn't so-and-so doing it to you, that was Ribono Shel Olam doing it to you. And you know what? Don't shoot the messenger. Because Hashem wanted you to get that.
Wow.
What a madriga to live on also. Wow. And then, so that's the second piece of advice. And the third piece of advice, I think, is the easiest one to, since the hardest and the easiest. But, you know, the Rambam Hilchos Deos Vav Vav writes, you know what? If someone wrongs you, you know what there's a mitzvah to do? Tell them about it. Rambam Hilchos Deos Vav Vav, right? It's called the mitzvah Tochacha. Mitzvah lav lehodi v'lomar lo lama asisi li. If Alvin doesn't lend me his axe, I should tell Alvin, Alvin, you know, you really insulted me by not lending me your axe. So talk it out. Now, men in particular have, you know, at all costs, we would avoid such a conversation. Like, you know, I'll give $1 million bucks, but I will not bring this up with them. You know, women are very good at talking. Now, you know, if I could, you know, gender stereotype, you know, just a little bit. But men in particular, I struggle with this one. But yes, the Torah doesn't want you to be a malach, but the Torah wants you to use your words. So we've given three, we'll say, strategies. Strategy number one was to try as hard as you can to think that they are an extension of you. In the same way you wouldn't hurt yourself, don't hurt them. Strategy number two is realize Hashem's punishing you. Don't hurt the messenger. It's all from Hashem. And number three is, why are you being so passive? Don't keep those emotions in. Verbalize it, talk it out. And that's really the way to rectify. I think ultimately, we still have work to do in really defining some of the pratim, the details of the mitzvah. But in conclusion, I think we can safely say that the Torah does not want us to be malachim. We're entitled to feel negative emotions, but we're also expected to be adults and pick our battles and be mature enough to drop those negative emotions when they are over trivial matters. And something more significant than our own emotions is bringing the geula and forgiving other Jews and realizing that our job in this world is to be mochel and to try to foster harmony, love, and peace. All right, my friends, let's try to do that and show my Torah and the world at large tikkun olam. All right? So Bez Hashem, we'll all stay friends forever. Okay, my friends, it's time for Marv, 2 minutes ago. Have a wonderful evening. We'll stop the recording here.